This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The SEC in the hot seat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. It's a safe bet the Inspector General of the Securities and Exchange Commission will be getting a lot of heat from Congress today. The House Financial Services Committee is set to start its hearing on Bernie Madoff and what's being called the biggest Ponzi scheme in U.S. history. Lawmakers want to know why regulators didn't notice the alleged fraud despite a number of warnings that started 10 years ago. Barack Obama will also be on Capitol Hill today. His visit is to talk stimulus. Mr. Obama wants quick movement on a broad economic package, but congressional leaders say it won't be ready for at least another month. The president-elect won't put a price tag on the plan, but congressional aides say he's looking for more than $300 billion in tax cuts. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The stimulus package is expected to include a middle-class tax cut and funding for states, focusing on infrastructure projects. Obama is said to be considering a reduction in payroll taxes. Consumers' paychecks would be slightly fatter. The thinking is they'd go out and spend that extra money right away. The infrastructure projects would include roads, bridges, broadband access, and energy efficiency. Wachovia senior economist Mark Vittner says those are good investments.
Spending dollars on infrastructure adds more to the economy than what you physically spend. It has a greater payback.
Some Republicans and fiscally conservative Democrats aren't convinced. They want to weed out spending on projects that are important locally but look like pork on Capitol Hill. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Asian markets had a strong showing today with the Nikkei posting its biggest gain in a couple months. European shares are mostly higher, and we'll see if Wall Street can keep its New Year rally going. The Dow is coming off its first close above 9,000 in 2 months. It rose 258 points Friday, nearly 3% to 9,034. One of the financial terms we heard a lot last year was credit default swaps. The demise of Lehman Brothers and the bailout of AIG are a couple of the disasters blamed on credit default swaps. The market for them is unregulated, but probably not for much longer. Federal legislation is expected to be introduced this month to rein in the $58 trillion market. Janet Babin reports from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Credit default swaps are kind of like shorting stock. They're a bet that a mortgage-backed security will go belly up. To buy one, you don't even need to own the security. And that could potentially lead people to manipulate the market. The Securities and Exchange Commission is now creating a credit default swap database to look for dodgy sales. Some congressmen back a bill that would mandate a CDS clearinghouse. Professor Bill Brown at Duke Law School is all for it. He says more regulation will save credit default swaps, and he thinks they should be saved.
It's a great financial innovation. They facilitate transactions, yet, like a lot of things, if a bad carpenter uses it, the bad carpenter is going to make mistakes.
And it's not just the feds. New York regulators have also promised additional oversight. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
This fallout from the financial crisis is claiming another corporate casualty this week. The last of the Woolworth stores in Britain will close down. American entrepreneur Frank Woolworth opened his first shop in the UK 100 years ago. As Stephen Beard reports from London, few American imports have been held in such affection.
You can tell how the Brits feel about Woolworths from the nickname. They call it Woolies. At this store in London, customers felt sad, even guilty, about turning up for the closing down sale.
Feel a bit of a vulture at the end of the pickings. Grown up with Woolies, I remember it as a child.
It's just been there ever since I was a kid. It's a bit sad, isn't it? It's like the end of an era.
Woolworths was always a shop I used to shop at as a child.
What did you buy here as a child?
I used to buy a bag of broken biscuits for 6 pence, and we used to go home, my brother and I, and we used to make a tent out of a sheet, and we used to think it was wonderful with our broken biscuits for 6 pence, and that's my memories of Woolworths, and I'm very sad to see it go.
But nostalgia wasn't enough to save Woolies from a competitive onslaught. Supermarkets undercut the chain in household goods, toys and clothing. And the internet finally killed off Woolies music sales. All that was really left was confectionery, says analyst Robert Clark.
It just didn't work anymore, and it didn't really stand for much, and really it became reduced to sort of the biggest sweet shop in the world. And that's just not good enough. You can't make enough profit doing just that.
Woolies might have staggered on, but for the credit crunch. Just before Christmas, banks called in their loans. Woolies couldn't pay up and declared bankruptcy. Many more British stores are going the same way, says analyst Jonathan DeMello.
Going forwards, there's a number of other potential retailers that are going to fall by the wayside. And at the moment, we're forecasting that maybe one in ten retail sites may become vacant in January. So it's a pretty dire time, really, for retailers.
Hopes of a last-minute reprieve for Woolies are waning fast. There has been a flurry of bidding, but only on eBay, for souvenirs, like staff uniforms, closing down posters and other bits of Woolies memorabilia. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Britain's luxury goods company Waterford Wedgwood is also cracking. The maker of fine china and crystal tableware was unable to secure new financing and announced today it's entered the British version of bankruptcy. The company had reported falling sales. Typically, luxury goods hold up better in bad times, but another sign here that everyone seems to be cutting back right now. Let us know where your financial thoughts are as we head into this first week of the new year, first full week. You can send us a note at marketplace.org. From there, take a look at our blogs and our podcasts. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.